Last Sunday, we baptized 47 people right over there in the baptistry. And here are some pictures from that event. 8:30, 10 o'clock, 11:30. We just opened up the doors to anyone that wants to be baptized. You could go over there and be baptized. And incredible God moments were happening. My wife, Erica, who's over here on the front row, Erica and I were standing at that doorway and praying for people as they would come in the doorway, and then we'd send them up to be baptized. And before they ever even went up the stairs to get baptized, man, there were some God moments happening. They were just, many of them were just weeping and crying before God, and you could tell that God was doing something so incredible. And literally, we just stepped back and said, wow, this is nothing that we're doing. It's not like I found some secret prayer to pray over them, and now all of a sudden, no, this is just God. God was on display, and it was so incredible. And so thanks to that takes a lot of effort. A lot of people helped last week pull that off, so thank you for that. And since then, a couple people have reached out to us that they missed out, and they weren't here, something happened, they couldn't be baptized last week, and so they missed it. And we just want you to know you didn't miss it, okay? We're going to baptize again today. And, you know, when we first started the church, we used to baptize every week, or at least make it available every week. And I think it's about time to get back to that, because I think God's on the move for sure. So if you're here today, you weren't able to be baptized last week, and you would like to be baptized today, you can, when we dismiss today, you can make your way over to this side of the building, and we'll have a team ready to give you clothes and towels and all that kind of stuff to be baptized today. What I want to speak about today is what happens after baptism. What happens in your life? You know, you come up out of that water, you leave, and what's next? There's a scripture that Pastor Emilio read last week. I want to go back to it. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And this scripture is really, it's just beautiful. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. Somebody say begun. Begun is the word I want to focus on today, because it really does teach us and show us what it's like. That this new life is just the just the first steps, the infancy. In fact, the Apostle Paul talked about this stage of your new life being like a baby. And so when baby is first born, I hear a few little babblings over here of a little baby. That's great. We love babies. They're drinking milk, right? And basic baby food, stuff like that, just kind of growing, getting stronger. That's you. And so I'm talking to 47 people today that got baptized last week, but I'm also talking to some older folks. And I say older, I'm not talking about your physical age. I'm talking about you've been around the family for a while, and maybe you had some misconceptions about what it means to live this new life. I want to help you today as well. I'm going to make it as simple as possible. And hopefully you'll take some next steps as well. So salvation is this beautiful moment. It's an internal thing where the realness of God is made known to you. The power of God, the supernatural nature of God, whatever, you know, the presence of God, who Jesus is, what he's done for you is coming to be a part of your life. It's just, it's hard to articulate what that is, you know, but it's you coming to this awareness. It's you saying yes to Jesus. It's you submitting and humbling yourself and say, God, please forgive me. I've made my life a mess. I need your help. Please forgive me of my sin. I'm trusting you as my Savior. This is the great time. It's an awakening. It is beautiful. There's forgiveness that's happening. There's surrender that's happening. There's some healing that's happening inside of you. And many, many times it's emotional, because the physical body doesn't know how to respond, you know, really any other way to this powerful thing that's happening spiritually inside of you. And so what do? We just start crying. Thank you, God. Because it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad cry. It's a beautiful thing. It's a tender thing. It's real. It's real. It's beautiful. And baptism is this physical thing that happens where your body physically goes into water, comes back out, and you're immersed into water and brought back out of water. But it's not just getting wet. It is you being immersed into a new identity. Jesus said in Matthew 28 to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe that to be the fullness of the Godhead, the fullness of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You're being baptized into that fullness, a new you're letting go of the old nature, and you're surrendering to this new persona that's going to be you. And so, you know, you're letting go of the things that you really took pride in previous life, the old life. You know, like, man, I'm a man. I'm a self-made man, or I'm a independent woman, or I'm Hispanic, or, you know, I'm a Cowboys fan, or whatever. That's who I am. I like to eat whatever, you know. All of us had identifying factors that were like, this is who I am. And when you're baptized, it's not that you give that up. You know, you're still a man. You're still a Cowboys fan. You're still a Hispanic or black or white or something in between or whatever. But that's not makes you who you are. You are now who you are because of Jesus. And your first identifying factor is that I am a child of Jesus. I'm a child of God. I'm in the family of God. Woo! That's baptism. So then what happens after that? Well, this scripture tells us the old life is gone and a new life has begun. And the concept I really want you to grab a hold of today is that when you get out of the waters of baptism and you go to your life again, it's going to look a lot like it did the week before and the week before that. And there's going to be some changes, maybe different lens you see things with, but there's going to be a lot of the same things. So what does that mean, a new life has begun? When you come out of the water, are you like, does God download into you everything instantaneously and you come out just being Jesus-like completely, you know, just nailing it every day, flawless, perfect person, miracles, signs, and wonders are coming out of you? No, that doesn't happen because you're a baby. And this text is so helpful because it explains that this is just the beginning of a new life, a new lifestyle, a new way to approach everything that you're going through. And so you're not going to go to a specific class at Promised Land and be stamped. Okay, you're a disciple now. You're fully formed. You're a follower of Jesus. You've got it. That's not going to happen. Now, classes are great. Sermons are great. Teachings are powerful. Small groups and all these things that we do are all important, and they all have value, and they all help. But none of them in and of themselves fix you or are all-encompassing. Even if you were to go to seminary, you know, Bible, that's, you know, seminary is your master level education where you become official. And I just want to let y'all all know, I never did that. Somebody asked me yesterday, literally, where'd you go to school? I went to Texas State. I'm a Bobcat. Yeah, well, where did you finish? That's where I finished. I didn't go to seminary. I didn't. So what does that mean? I'm not official. I'm not a follower of Jesus. I'm not a disciple. I'm not what? No, because it's not about that. It's not about that. It's kind of like fishing, right? You becoming a disciple and discipling is kind of like fishing. You could go to a class. I could teach you how to fish, you know, how to put either the lure on or the bait on the hook or whatever, teach you how to hold the reel, cast it, wait, jiggle a little bit, wait, whatever, drag it in, you know, all that. And then there's a little bite. Okay, now set the hook, pull it in. Here's how you clean it. That doesn't make you a fisherman. It just teaches you how to fish. The only way you're a fisherman is if you... Okay. You have to fish to be a fisherman, right? It's not hard. It's not complicated. Just because you know how to do it doesn't mean you are. Okay? So if I'm teaching you how to fish, now you have something that you can live the rest of your life with and practice it. And that's really what being a disciple is all about, is that we are at the community of believers, the followers of Jesus, is that we're understanding we have a life that's now begun, but it's something that we now practice. It's something that we now step into. And one of the great points that Pastor Emilio brought out last week was that our practice doesn't dictate our position with God, but our position with God dictates our practice. So I got to make sure you understand that I'm not here to tell you, you better be good, you better start doing good things and just change your behavior so that you're a good person so that God will save you. That's not what I'm saying. Our salvation doesn't come by your good works. Our salvation comes from the good works of Jesus. And we trust in Jesus. We understand that he did the work for us. And so now we are in him. That's the scripture I read earlier. And that new life has begun. And what that means is now from this posture or position as a child of God, now I do begin to practice being a follower of Jesus. And it's kind of like, you know, in the medical field, they're practicing their medicine. It's kind of the same thing. We're in the movement of following Jesus. And Jesus gives us in Mark 1, 14 and 15, and just a few sentences, the lifestyle of a disciple, okay? So I want us to look at that real quickly. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15 says, this is right at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. He had just been baptized, and now he's going into public ministry. Jesus went into Galilee where he preached God's good news. The time promised by God has come at last, he announced. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. So in that one text right there, this is the model for you. This is the model for the new life, okay? This is the model of discipleship. Some people ask us over the last, 18 years, what is promising to do for discipleship? What is it? How do you do that? What does it look like? This verse right here, okay? And trying to make it as simple as possible. But there's three words in this text that pop out and show us what it means to follow and what it means to be a disciple, what it means to look like Jesus. So Jesus went to Galilee where he preached God's good news. The time, somebody say time. That's the first word. If you're taking notes, write down time. The time promised by God has come at last, he announced. The kingdom of God is near. Repent. That's the second word I want you to focus on. So time, repent of all of your sins, and believe. That's the third word, believe the good news. So in this text, you have time, repent, and believe. That is the essence of the rest of your life. I said earlier, you're not going to be like stamped, finished disciple when you come out of that water. And the reason I say that is because you're going to spend the rest of your life becoming a disciple of Jesus. You can look across the room here today and you can look at people like Pastor Renee and Vicky and say, wow, those are, oh man, mature, solid, grounded people, just full of God and full of, you know why? Because they followed this text and they're still following it. And my parents and other people in the place here today is because this is a lifestyle of them going over and over and over and over, when a time happens and then they repent and believe. Something happens, a time, they repent and believe. And each one of those takes them deeper, more mature. And in essence, what can happen as you mature, as you get stronger, you're going to feel this same thing where people are going to look at you and they're going to be like, wow, you're so strong in God. You know, you'll say, oh man, I'm not, you know, I have so far to go. Yeah. But that just goes to show you the continual humility of a person that's following God. That's a good thing. And it shows that you have grown because other people recognize your maturity. Are y'all with me so far? Let's go deeper into this verse right here. And the word time in the Greek was a word kairos, K-A-I-R-O-S. It's a Greek word meaning time. Another Greek word for time is chronos. That's what we get chronological from. But this is a different definition of time. Kairos, it's an event or moment when everything changes because it's the right time, okay? It's the right time. That's different than chronological, which is like a timeline, a sequence of a bunch of events. This is a moment, really. This is a moment. And Jesus says the time has come. This kairos moment has come. The kingdom of God is near. So what we're saying is that the kingdom of God is bursting forth in your life in this moment. Now, those people that we were praying with, some of you, that we were praying with last Sunday in that doorway over there. We're having kairos moment where the kingdom of God was just coming forth. It was a beautiful thing. That word kairos is an event word. It's an event. It happens. The other words in that text is repent. I want to look at the word repent, and the original word is metanoia. Metanoia is a process word. It's not an event word, it's a process word, and it means a change of heart and mind. And so, you know, we've taught repentance a lot, and churches do, and a lot of times we'll say, you know, repenting is when you're going one way, and then to repent means to turn and go a different way. I want to deepen your idea of what repent means. The word metanoia is the same word that we get metamorphosis from, okay? Metamorphosis is a true transformation. It's different than just kind of manipulating something into looking different, but a metamorphosis is like from the cellular level. You become a different being. So take a caterpillar going into a cocoon. That's metamorphosis inside that cocoon. When it comes out, it's not a caterpillar with wings on it, because that wouldn't work. It has completely changed inside that cocoon. And when it comes out, true change, all right? True change, a metamorphosis, a repentance, a change. I want you to envision that happening to you. A change inside of you because of this moment that's happening in your life. But the next word is very important. This is where the turning happens, and this is to believe. So we have the choice when a God moment comes, how to respond to it. And so followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus, will take a God moment and allow that God moment to change them, change their heart and their mind, and then they will begin to act on that change in belief. And I'm going to change the way I walk. I'm going to change the way I talk. So when we are disciples and followers of Jesus, our vocabulary does need to change sometimes. And the who we relate to, and what our view of money is, and what our view of work is, and what our view of marriage is, and what our view of gender is, and what our view of sexuality is. And you know, the Bible is very clear on so many things, and you may not have that point of view when you just came into the world and, you know, did your thing and raised the way you were raised and went to school and did all that stuff. But when you come to Jesus, I'm here to tell you, we're not going to just start piping stuff into you saying, think this way now, do this way now. Behavior modification, that's not going to work. The only way that there is true conversion. That's another word we use sometimes, right? To be converted. We're not talking about just converting from no faith to Christianity. We're not talking about religious, you know, you were Hindu, now you're Christian or Muslim. That, I mean, that is a word. Convert does mean that particular thing, but that's really not the, the exciting thing of conversion that we're talking about. The conversion that we're talking about, this metanoia, is when the presence of God comes into your life and impacts you, and you allow it, him to change from a spiritual, molecular, cellular, however you want to say it, truly change your heart so that when you then believe or act on it, it's not just like you're doing it because you learned it in a book or someone taught you to memorize a certain thing or act a certain way, but you really do believe it. You really are acting from a place of metamorphosis. And so I want to throw that out there so that you maybe put you at ease a little bit. Some of you brand new folks, but also some of you that have been around for a while that you thought, man, I thought I was going to be way further along, you know, or I thought it was going to be different. No, your life has just begun. I want you to think about this as a journey as you get more and more like the teacher. In fact, Mike Breen says it like this. He says, walking as a disciple of Jesus means constantly growing and changing inwardly as you take on more and more of the character of the teacher. Change is not an option. It is a vital part of the life of the follower of Jesus. Once we change on the inside, the new attitude will affect our outward actions. So if you're like, man, I'm gonna be this way till I die. Well, do you really trust that Jesus is Lord? If you really trust that Jesus is Lord, it's being put to the test now. If you surrender to him, then I wanna hear, what is God saying? And what am I going to do about it? That's probably one of the easiest ways I could phrase it. The rest of your life, discipleship is going to boil down to these two questions that you're going to ask and answer yourself. What is God saying in this moment, this Kairos moment that's happening to me? What is God saying? And then what am I going to do about it? It'd probably be helpful just to write those two questions down. What is God saying, and what am I going to do about it? Discipleship boils down to that simple thing. And God can tell you something in a sermon, in a Bible study class, in a small group, in a private time of prayer, private time of Bible reading. It can happen to you in many different ways. You can have this moment like in the hallway. We're praying. It can happen at the altar here. It can happen out in the foyer, out in the parking lot, and in a restaurant. Like, God can move in moments, and it can be these beautiful spiritual downloads where you're like, oh, thank you, God. Now I want to move forward. What am I going to do with this, what you've given me? And those do happen. Promised land, we believe it. We lay hands on people. We pray for people. We believe in spiritual things that can happen in a moment that can deliver people from addiction or sickness, illness, disease. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. And that's a part of your discipleship, your move with God. But really what I want to kind of end on today, and I want you to think about, is probably the area where the discipleship in your life is going to happen the most. And that's when an event, a life event, happens to you and your trust in Jesus is truly put to the test. So let me give you an example. You have an awakening with God. You surrender your heart to him. You ask him to forgive you. He forgives you. It's a spiritual moment. You feel the presence of the Lord. You experience him. There's signs that he's with you, he's in you. It's a beautiful thing. It's an awakening. Then you're offered water baptism at Promised Land. You get baptized in the Promised Land. And you walk out of here, and if anyone would have asked you, you know, are you a believer? Yes, I am. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes, I do. Have you surrendered your heart to him? Yes, I have. Do you trust in Jesus? Yes. Yes. but then 3 months later, you lose your job after a very difficult conversation with your boss. And at first, you're kind of thinking about it. You may have like a little adrenaline, a little faith adrenaline boost, like, I'm going to make it. And then several days pass. You're trying to figure out how to tell people. And what can happen is insecurities can come in with, like, what are my parents going to think about me? What are my coworkers going to think about me that I just got let go from this job? What's my spouse going to think about this? What are my kids going to think? How do I frame this? Like, you're worried about acceptance. You're worried about them rejecting. You're worried about how that job made you feel, how it gave you confidence, so that can be a difficult time. And then maybe the financial piece comes in where the mortgage is coming up, in a week or two, and there's no plan on how to, make that payment. And so stress and heaviness and anxiousness comes along, maybe anger at your boss or anger at yourself for making a mistake, or, there's all these different emotions and feelings, and your faith is put to the test. It's a Kairos moment. It's a Kairos moment. What are you going to do with it? What is God saying to you in the moment? Do you hear what he's saying to you? Oftentimes, we can be tempted to go back to our coping mechanisms that we had before we were saved, and we can lean on something to give us comfort, and we can find ourselves sinning, the big sins of the world. The sin in and of themselves is just a coping mechanism to get your mind off of something or to numb the pain or to help you with whatever, whether that is inhaling something or drinking something or getting into another relationship or, whatever it is to try to help you through this situation. And all the while, God is speaking to you in this moment, and he's wanting you to hear what he's saying. Maybe you got into a small group. Maybe you're serving somewhere. Maybe you have friends in Promised Land, and you say, I need help during the discussion, during a prayer time. Maybe you text someone, I need help. What do you need help with? What's going on? And they start talking to you. You're transparent. You're open. You say, I'm struggling with this area of my job, and I'm not sure what I'm going to do about this. And there's a Kairos moment. There is a discipleship moment where they are able to speak into your life the truth about who God is and what God is saying. You're going to make it. Why? Not because you're going to work hard, not because you're going to get a new job, not because a secret check's going to come in the mail, not because you're going to win the lottery. No. You're going to make it because you're God's child, and God's going to be with you, and he's never going to fail you. And he loves you, and he's going to protect you and provide for you. That's the truth. That's what God's saying to you. I didn't realize I didn't believe. I thought I believed that. Why am I stressed about this? Why am I struggling with this? Because you had head knowledge, but it wasn't down in here yet. You weren't practicing it. You weren't allowing it to let it metamorphosis happen in your heart and then believe. That's what I was saying earlier. Like, sometimes you'll come across something as you continue to follow Jesus. You're like, man, that happened to me, and it didn't affect me like it did 2 years ago when it happened. Why? Because you're believing already. You've already had that metamorphosis, and now you're standing strong, and you're a follower of Jesus, and you're like, wow, man, I'm feeling good because I do believe. And now you're able to speak to someone else over here that's struggling in that area because they're going through something, and now you're going to speak into their life, and they're going to, oh, God's saying that he's going to take care of me. He's going to provide for me. He's saying to me that I approve of you. I love you. I accept you, even if your boss doesn't, even if your spouse doesn't, even if your kids don't. I love you, and I'm here for you. That's what God's saying. Now, am I going to listen to that, and am I going to allow that to change truly a metamorphosis of my heart and mind and then stand in that area? That's what being a follower. That's what the rest of your life is going to be like. And I'm telling you, as the pastor of the church, somebody that's been around for a long time, I haven't been to seminary, but I've been through a lot of moments. And I can start feeling good, and then I can allow my flesh, that's what we call like our natural nature, our human side, to come back. And then I can start believing things that aren't true about God, or believing things that are not true about myself. And I can start getting sucked back into that lie of the enemy instead of believing the truth about what God is saying. And I need you in my life. And I need my wife in my life. And I need my friends in my life. I need the people in here in my small group. I need people in my life that are saying, no, Robin, no. God's with you. He loves you. He's for you, even if someone else is against you. You're going to make it. Don't worry about that. Not because you're going to be successful, but because God has been successful already in your life. He's going to prove himself to you. We need that in our life to keep growing stronger. And that is what discipleship is all about. It's a life that has begun in you. If it hasn't begun in you, let's let it begin right now. How about that? It's a good life. Man, it's such a good life. Would you stand to your feet right now? I want to go to God in prayer, and then there's this chorus that I want us to get into. I want to sing a little bit of this chorus because I feel like it really just, it's going to solidify some spiritual things that we're thinking and feeling right now. Heavenly Father, we surrender our life to you. And I want to make it personal. Let's all make it personal. Just say, Lord, I surrender my life to you right now. I surrender my heart to you right now. Please forgive me of my sin. I want to hear what you're saying to me, Lord. I want to repent and believe. I want to repent and believe the gospel. That Jesus, you've done the work for me. I believe that. I believe in you, Jesus. Let's make a confession of our faith right now to just say, I believe in you, Jesus. I put my trust in you alone, Jesus. I'm not going to lean to my own understanding, but I'm going to lean into you, Jesus, and your understanding. God, I'm excited about what could happen if I hear you and I repent and believe. Lord, let this be my lifestyle. Let me be a disciple, a follower that is continually pliable and soft and transformable and ready, Lord, for what you're calling in my life and speaking into my life. Lord, I want to be ready for that in Jesus' name. Fill me, God. Fill me. Come on, let's just ask the Lord. Come on, I welcome you, God, to fill me. Holy Spirit, fill my heart, fill my mind, fill my body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, Jesus.